Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the Feast of the Epiphany 2009. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. Raise your eyes and look about. They all gather and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow, for the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. The wealth of the nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you. Dromedaries from Midian and Ephah, from all of Sheba shall come, bearing gold and frankincense, and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you.
Lord, every nation on earth will adore you.
O God, with your judgment endow the king, and with your justice the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice, and your afflicted ones with judgment.
Lord, every nation on earth will adore you.
Justice shall flower in his days, and profound peace till the moon be no more. May he rule from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth.
Lord, every nation on earth will adore you.
The kings of Tarshish and the isles shall offer gifts. The kings of Arabia and Seba shall bring tribute. All kings shall pay him homage. All nations shall serve him.
Lord, every nation on earth will adore you.
For he shall rescue the poor when he cries out, and the afflicted when he has no one to help him. He shall have pity for the lowly and the poor. The lives of the poor he shall save.
Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit, namely, that the mystery was made known to me by revelation. It was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in the same promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising, and have come to do him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly, and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage. After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello everyone.
And we're going to talk about the Epiphany. And Dawn, have you had any epiphanies about the Epiphany lately?
Well,
Well, my epiphany is, let's see. No, I guess not.
Well, perhaps we should begin. Perhaps we should begin by talking about maybe what the epiphany itself means.
That's a good idea.
Or what the word means. And that could be a revelation. That's generally how we use it. And a lot of times we'll use it in colloquial speak, like we just did earlier, where I said, "Do you have any epiphanies about the epiphanies?" Or, you know, we'll talk about, "Oh, I had this great epiphany," or this great insight into, you know, whatever is going on in your life, or something like that. And so the epiphany is a revelation. It's the It's the revelation of Christ to the entire world. And of course,
How is the Feast of the Epiphany different than the Feast of Christmas that we just celebrated?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I was just about to go there. We're on the same wavelength now. So that's a good question, because people say, well, wait, what was Christmas just about if not the revelation of Christ to the world? And certainly what we'd say is that's the birth of Christ to the world, so that's the first, maybe the first phase of the revelation. But if we look in the stories of Christmas, we see that the announcement of Christ's birth is always being made to the Jewish people. And what we're celebrating in the Epiphany is the rest of the world coming to recognize Christ. And of course, that's seen through the story of the three wise men, as we call them, or the three magi or magi. There's many different ways of pronouncing that. Nobody's called it Maggie yet, but I reserve the right to call it that. That'll be my innovation here.
All right, great.
But these are people who were not Jewish, who come from the East to recognize Christ as the Messiah, as the King. And so that's what we're celebrating here, is this recognition by the whole world that Christ is King, or Christ for the whole world, not just for the Jewish people. So that's the epiphany, is that he's being revealed not just to the Jews, but to all people.
And I know in the Eastern Church, they celebrate Epiphany on January 6th. It's a set day. Whereas in the Catholic Church, it always follows the Feast of the Holy Family. Or it has to be on the Sunday after the first of the year. And there's some weird formula, but it normally follows the Feast of the Holy Family. But in the Eastern Church, they not only use the reading of the three wise men, but they also use the readings of the baptism of Jesus and the wedding feast of Cana, all different ways that all different epiphanies of Jesus. And our church also uses them, but they spread it out more. So, for example, next week we'll have the readings about the baptism of Jesus, and then the Monday following that we'll have the readings of the feast at Cana. So just a little trivia for people.
Okay. Yeah, and all of it is because it's all part of one big revelation in the Eastern Church, too. The other thing is, we were talking about the day of this feast, and I've been reading, it's kind of complex, so I'm not 100% certain how this works, because from what I've read, it sounds like in some dioceses, like in the U.S., we celebrate it the way you said, but it sounds to me like in some dioceses, January 6th might actually be a holy day of obligation in itself, so they would celebrate it on the 6th, but I'm not too certain, so I don't want to claim. If somebody out there knows somebody from another country or something that might be able to clarify that, they could email us, Don. We have email. They could email Brian at workingtobeathell.org, or they could email me at bcarpenter@dor.org and provide us with any insight that you might have if you happen to have any further information than us. So, like we always say, we're just a couple of schmucks, and usually we try to stay one step ahead of the game, but I think we've fallen a step behind here on the specific dates of how this is celebrated when it's celebrated outside of the U.S. But we are celebrating it, as you said, here. And I think one of the things that you mentioned is what the Eastern Church celebrates. It's still part of our theology, is that that there's this gradual revelation. It's not just Christ is revealed in this one instance or anything like that. And that revelation, you know, takes a little while sometimes to come to, and it involves really a lifelong journey for us. And speaking of journeys, Don, you had some insight about some journeys of the wise men, I believe. Like that smooth transition there.
Very nice. Well, you know, I got to thinking, you know, when I go on a journey, I don't like to really plan every specific detail, but I usually like to know the general direction I'm heading, and if it's going to be an overnight, I'd like to know, well, yes, I'll have a hotel room or a person to stay with, but how different these wise men had to be. They couldn't go to MapQuest, or they couldn't plug it in their TomTom. They just had to trust by following a star. And so they had to surrender
their
route.
The old GPS.
What did you just say?
It's the old GPS. The old school GPS.
How could you do GPS using star as the last initial? We'll have to work on that.
Global stars. Global positioning star. You know.
Global. Oh, you're so funny. There you go. Oh, boy. This podcast is going down the tube fast. But so they had to surrender their journey, and probably not knowing at the time who they were surrendering their journey to. But one of the things I was reading talked about how not only surrendering where they were headed, but also their expectations. I'm sure they didn't expect to run into Herod, and I'm pretty darn sure they didn't expect to find a baby at the end of their journey. And so how both of those are important for us in our spiritual journey, for me especially, expectations, I tend to put an expectation on everything. And of course, they never turn out the way that I had thought they would. But, you know, how important it is to just let God lead us instead of trying to make our own journeys.
Mm-hmm. And I think you're right there. And also the fact that the journey that they were making was probably a pretty rough journey,
yeah,
too. And a lot of times, you know, we hit these bumps and things in our own spiritual journey. And I think that the lesson that we can learn, too, is to, you know, keep our eyes focused on that star that's guiding us and trust that it's going to guide us to the right place.
How about for you? Have there been unexpected people on your journey that have revealed Christ to you or have guided you? Or
yes, one lady, this one lady, Dawn Burdick. Oh, wait, hold on. No, I think for me, what I would point to, I mean, there's always unexpected ways in which God comes to you, and like you said, through unexpected people, as well as sometimes through people that you would expect it, and sometimes some vice versa things too. For me, where I really saw that a lot more was when I spent a year working in a soup kitchen in Brooklyn, and to see the presence of God amongst the poor. And a lot of times we talk about that, but I think it's a completely different thing when you experience it, versus just talking about it. So it's kind of even hard for me to really convey it in words over the podcast, because I think it is one of those things that really you do need to experience before you really get it. But again, I think that, you know, there's also situations that are similar in that respect too. So it's not just people. A lot of times you can go into situations, and that's where I find something like an Ignatian examen prayer to be really good, which is a prayer where Saint Ignatius is the founder of the Jesuits, and he asked his Jesuits and his followers in the community to every night to do what he called an examination. And it wasn't so much an examination of conscience where you're looking at your guilt or, you know, your sins throughout the day and that kind of thing. But what his was an examination for where was Christ present to me throughout the day. And I find when you do that prayer, you often find that he's present in a lot of places that you never would have thought about again if you didn't sit down and do this prayer. So sometimes it's just somebody that you maybe bumped into at, you know, the store or something like that. Maybe even somebody you didn't know that, you know, you helped them find a product at Wegmans or something like that. But those little moments, a lot of times you can sit back and reflect and say, oh my goodness, that was Christ manifesting himself to me or in some way.
I think you're right, especially in the world we live in is so fast paced that we don't have much time to reflect, or we don't give ourselves much time to reflect. And it's often in those moments of reflection that we see the face of God. I mean, we should always be looking for God, but I know for me, I get a little wrapped up in whatever I'm doing or who I'm talking to and forget about that. But if I can remember, even if I'm transitioning from meeting one person to meeting another person, walking down, you know, where did I see God? Where was God revealed to me in that encounter? And praying that I might find God in the next encounter.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, too, there's that element that you just said there of prayer, of asking God to help us see him. Because ultimately, we can't see God unless God reveals himself to us.
Right.
You know, we always use this language of, you know, we're searching for God and that kind of thing. But ultimately, that's got to have prayer accompany it, because any time we experience God, it's always a gift of God's initiative. It's not like, you know, God is hiding, kind of like, where's Waldo, and we're trying to figure out where he is or something like that. Oh, where are you? Hidden here. But it's really God revealing himself to us. And if you do pray for that, you know, God will grant that request, be able to see him throughout your life. So, you know, pray that you have these epiphany moments. And we are coming to the end of our podcast, so hopefully this podcast may have been an epiphany for some people, or at least given them an epiphany about the epiphany. And hopefully our listeners will join us next week on Your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.